Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Varell Coast to Coast.
And we're back, Varell, coast to coast on a Thursday right here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Carver High in for Scotty as we get ready for Wild Card Weekend coming up. 6 huge games, and every Thursday on C2C, we head out to the MGM National Harbor in Maryland, and we talk with our Sports Grid lead NFL analyst, and that is Warren Sharp. Warren, we made it, man. 18 weeks. It seems like it goes too fast, but the playoffs are here, and it's time to cash some more big tickets. How are you, my man?
I'm doing great. It is the best time of the year for me. I love betting in the playoffs. The stakes are so high. You get a really good read on a lot of these teams. There's nobody laying down. You generally have good understanding of some of the key injuries as well, because we're able to get some good data between some of the people that I work with and what's publicly available. And so just a really great time of year to be watching these games and to be betting these games. You don't no longer have to divert your attention between 8 or 9 different games being played at one time. You can slowly enjoy every single one of these games one at a time. Live betting is outstanding during the NFL playoffs.
I was just going to say that to you. Before we dive into each game, you just hit the nail right on the head. When there's 8 or 9 games going on, or like 6 or 7 in the early window, 4 in the late window, sometimes live betting can be a little difficult. But one game in each window really allows you to focus in and look for some things, and maybe some of even the stuff that you're going to bring up in this hour. Look for that, because you're only focusing on that one game.
Exactly. You can pay close attention to what the teams are doing. Obviously, my suggestion to everybody out there, we said this earlier in the year, but you want a live bet during commercial breaks if possible, because every single book has an edge on you. Your TV feed, no matter what it is probably going to be delayed by a matter of seconds or sometimes 30 seconds. And so you don't want to get the lines that they're going to be giving you, because they're giving them to you because they want you to take them because they've got a little bit of an advantage. So wait till the commercial breaks, but it's definitely a fun time of year to be betting the NFL. And so many more prop markets are open. The prop markets come out earlier on in the week, and we'll be talking about a few of them as we work our way through these games.
And that's what I love, because sometimes it's I can't stand the props not coming out till Friday. All week long, the props have been on the board. Allows you to dive in a lot earlier and get yourself set up. 6 games to go through. Let's get right into it. Saturday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, first game of the weekend in Santa Clara. 49ers and the Seahawks, Warren. Little divisional matchup to get us going.
Look, this game is very simple to me. It's very straightforward. Obviously, every single one of these games is a repeat. We've seen rematch. This is the rematch game. It's the same season, double rematch for both of these divisional teams. The way to attack the San Francisco 49ers defense is simple. You have to do it through the air. We just saw a Washington Commanders team come out here and try to run the football. You're not going to have a lot of success. But when they threw the ball on third downs, they did end up having success. Well, why was that? That was because the 49ers secondary, specifically versus deeper passes, actually struggles mightily on the season and might end up being their Achilles heel down the stretch when they play some better teams that can throw the football down the field a little bit more. That is not Geno Smith. That is not the Seattle Seahawks team. Nor do I think the Seahawks could even do that if they changed their plan and wanted to because of the weather. So this is the only game that we really have to handicap weather. Let's talk about it. I've been here at the MGM National Harbor for a couple of hours now. I'm not sure if the forecast changed in that bit of time, but it is possible because weather out there is very unpredictable with this storm system that's coming through. But according to what I am seeing, this forecast is actually looking to have a lot of wind and rain. Now, the wind isn't going to be high except for some gusts, which could go 25 to 35 miles per hour. But the rain could be heavy at times, and that's going to hurt the Seattle Seahawks' ability to throw the football down the field. But look at these numbers. 49ers are the number one best run defense in the NFL, so you're not going to have a lot of success running on them. When you pass the ball over the second half of the season, less than 15 air yards down the field. This 49ers defense is number one in EPA allowed per pass attempt. They're the best defense against short passes. When you pass the ball 15 plus yards down the field, they rank number 31. They're significantly worse. But what we have seen is that Geno Smith and the Seahawks offense pass the ball in general when they go on the road shorter, and against these 49ers, much shorter. Geno Smith is averaging just 4.6 air yards per attempt against the Niners, 8.0 against every other team this year. Only 3% of his pass attempts go 20 plus yards down the field against the Niners. That number is over 10% against every other team. So I just think we're going to have an opportunity here for the San Francisco 49ers. Get out early, maintain a lead here, and I don't want to lay the 10 points on the San Francisco 49ers, but what I would feel comfortable doing is betting on this under or a Seattle Seahawks team total under. I just do not think they're going to be able to attack the secondary weaknesses of this 49ers team based upon the weather and the way that they structure their offense.
Yeah, weather very unpredictable. I saw the same thing you did, Warren. It's looking right now like it's going to be sloppy in Santa Clara, real sloppy. And I think that that kind of leans under. I think it leans Niners under both of those terms. That's for sure. We got a lot more to do. I got one or two other things on this game, and we'll keep rolling through the rest. Pharrell Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Warren Sharp is with us, our Sports Grid lead NFL analyst from the MGM National Harbor in Maryland. We keep rocking on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty, Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. We are talking with Warren Sharp, our lead NFL analyst on Sports Grid out at the MGM National Harbor in Maryland. Warren, one more thing on the Seahawks game before we get into the Chargers at night. The Seahawks in both the meetings this year, not a lot of success offensively. I mean, you had some numbers that you had sent over, like, a lot of three and outs. They have struggled a lot. That's a lot for Carroll to work on this week.
Yeah, they actually have scored one offensive touchdown in 20 possessions against this defense. They are very much so unable to matriculate the ball down the field well. And one of the things that they said after that first game was that they wanted to work on, after the last game most recently, they said that they wanted to try to avoid more three and outs by trying to run the football more and getting into more manageable third down situations. Well, that might sound great, ideally, but you're going up against the number one run defense in the NFL, first off, and second off, you're now going to have to matriculate the ball and convert more of those third downs because you're not gaining more chunk plays on early downs if you're not trying to throw the ball down the field quite as often. So while their strategy sounds good in practice, against this defense is actually going to cause you to be in more third downs where you're going to have to convert. I just don't think it's a wise strategy. I think the Niners and teasers are a great bet this weekend as well. Now, you do have to use a seven-pointer to get through the three, which you do need to do on a smart teaser leg, but I think that there's some value there in teasing the Niners down. I just don't see them losing this game. I see them winning by at least three.
I am with you, Warren. I think the Seahawks, with that 9.5, especially with the weather, maybe could be very live. I would tease down the Niners as well. Let's go to the night game on Saturday. The Chargers heading to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. Like you mentioned, all these teams have played each other this year. Jaguars beat up the Chargers at SoFi way back in September. That was honestly a game where, Warren, I didn't think that Justin Herbert should have even played. He was coming off the rib injury after the Chief Thursday night game. Didn't look like himself. Let's start this game by giving me your thoughts on what Staley did last Sunday with his starters in the Denver game and potentially now not having Mike Williams on Saturday night because of it.
Yeah, there's no reason for that. There is no cause at all for that. I don't care what he says. He's a first-time playoff head coach. Your goal is to make the playoffs. You made the playoffs. Now get ready to win a playoff game. You knew who you were going to play. You didn't know when you were going to play, but you knew that there was a chance that you were going to have to play on Saturday. There was two games going to be scheduled for Saturday, and you knew that you were going to be flying across the country. You also knew that your last game of the season was at elevation in Denver. So you're going to have to fly home from elevation in Denver. You're going to have to go to from L.A. all the way down to Jacksonville, and you're not sure when that game's going to be, but you also know that you've got a day less rest than your opponent did because the Jaguars played the Saturday before. Dumb all around. Just moronic decision making by that coaching staff. I don't want to say unforgivable. Let's see what happens in this game. The Chargers are taking some sharp money here, but inexcusable to play the starters that long. If you want to try to make an argument that you should have put them in there for a little while, fine. If you think you need to keep the chemistry going. At some point, I felt like he believed that he was trying to win that game, and that was going to keep the momentum rolling, and that just wasn't the case. They end up losing the game, losing Mike Williams, and gaining no rest advantage whatsoever.
And before we even get on the field, let's stay with something else off of it. How about the hype video that they put out yesterday? I saw it too, where they had all the clips of all the different broadcast outlets saying that the Chargers aren't any good, nobody believes in the Chargers. I guess they're trying to change people's minds on Saturday night, Warren, that's for sure.
You know what it tells me? It tells me they felt like they needed to come up with that video now because they might lose this game. And then when could they put up the hype video, right? Like, I saw Tom Brady. He tweeted out a video similar to this after he won the Super Bowl. And you know what the final frame of that video had? Him holding the Lombardi up above his head, cashing all those receipts for all the other guys who were talking negatively about his team and him throughout the course of the year. Why are you going to come out with that right now? That's the big question mark for me. I thought the video was really well executed, really well done. I would say the same things. Like, I half was expecting myself to appear in there because I've said plenty of negative things about Joe Lombardi and this offense over the course of the season. So, like, I'm not completely bought into the Chargers myself. I think this game's going to be a really nip and tuck game. I think it's going to be higher scoring, which we'll talk about momentarily. Well executed video. Let's see if they can make good on that and actually get out there and win a playoff game.
And honestly, the criticism is rightfully so. I've heard the stuff you've said about Lombardi. It absolutely is rightful criticism when you have a guy like Justin Herbert back there who can sling it the way that he can. Let's get on the field now. Jaguars and the Chargers. It's 2.5 here. What are you thinking Saturday night in Jacksonville between these two?
Well, I'm thinking early down efficiency for this Jacksonville Jaguars team. And when I look at the Jaguars, I see that they have been extremely efficient on early downs. And this is going to be a great matchup against this Chargers defense. Why? Well, number one, overall, the Chargers rank second worst in yards per play allowed on early downs. How do they rank second worst per play? Well, they have actually been blitzing a ton. They have the highest blitz rate of any team in the NFL on early downs over the second half of the season. But they're delivering pressure at a below average rate. And listen to these numbers as I read them off for what Trevor Lawrence has done on early downs when he is blitzed, but the pressure does not get home. He is 40 of 47, averaging 9.5 yards per attempt with plus .55 EPA and 60% success. When they decide not to pass the ball, which I think they will be able to do when they want to, especially if that pressure is not getting home, they're going to turn to the run. And guess what? The Chargers rank dead last in the NFL defending running back runs on early downs. So Jacksonville really has their ability to do what they want offensively, in my opinion here. I also think it helps them that last week's game was basically a de facto playoff game for them. It was a win and get in scenario that was on a Saturday in prime time in Jacksonville. This game is on a Saturday in primetime in Jacksonville. It's basically like round two of the playoffs. I think some of those playoff jitters might have gotten flushed down the drain with that game last week. I expect Trevor Lawrence to look a little bit better here. I expect Doug Peterson potentially to be a little bit better here against an opponent that does not know them quite as well as, of course, the Tennessee Titans did. So I see some upside for them. On the other side of the ball, I'm looking at this Jacksonville Jaguars team, and look at the quarterbacks that they've gone up against. I mean, we're talking about the last 6 weeks, Josh Dobbs, the combo, the deadly combo of Davis Mills and Jeff Driskel, the deadly combo of Zach Wilson and Chris Streveler, Dak Prescott, Ryan Tannehill, and Jared Goff. Dak went 23 of 30, averaged 8.5 yards per attempt with three touchdowns, and Goff averaged 8.3 yards per attempt with two touchdowns. And I absolutely think Justin Herbert's going to be able to come out here and have some success. Mike Williams is going to be missed if he's not up there. I have not looked at today's injury report. Maybe you could tell me if he got any type of limited work in today. But if he's not able to go in this game, that definitely hurts them. I would expect then they turn a little bit more to Austin Eckler through the air. You would want to look to Austin Eckler's receiving yards over potentially. But I think that this Chargers team, all the criticism, and you mentioned it, that I've levied upon Joe Lombardi, you know what? This game might not be the worst thing in the world to throw short, because this Jaguars defense is one of the worst in the NFL at defending these short passes. So, yeah, we just got word confirmed in the earpiece here that Williams did not practice today. So I just think that there's going to be some substantial upside for this this Justin Herbert-led passing attack to have some success throwing the football. And I think this game's going to go over the total, but I like the first half angle. I got some over 23 in the first half. I still think there's a little bit of value going over 23 and a half.
Yeah, the official word is did not practice, questionable for Saturday. Team will give him up to game time to be able to go against the Jaguars. Not promising, to be quite honest with you. That's what that sounds like, not promising. Pharrell, coast to coast on a Thursday. We're talking with Warren Sharp from the MGM National Harbor in Maryland. We'll come back. More NFL Wild Card Weekend right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hunted. Know your prey. This is a whole new jungle. This is the Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
And we're back for El Coast to Coast on a Thursday here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Carver High in for Scotty. Talking to Warren Sharp, Sports Grid's lead NFL analyst, getting you ready for Wild Card Weekend. But if you want to score a bigger payout on your parlay this weekend, we have something for you, Warren. I mean, look at this. The Warren Sharp Football Parlay Boost Token. It is here, baby. Go to BetMGM.com to find out terms and conditions. If your parlay wins, you can boost it up. That's what I'm talking about, Warren, for the people on Wild Card Weekend.
Absolutely. It's a great offer. Basically, you just go there, you hit the token, and then you can build a three-team parlay. The terms and conditions are listed there, but the bottom line is if you hit the token and then you build a three-team parlay that meets the stipulations that are required there, you will get an extra 20% boost to your payout. So largest bet size is $25. Go ahead and give it a shot. Not much to lose there. And think about some of the picks that we go over on this segment here. You might get some ideas as to what you would want to incorporate in there. But I've already mentioned one bet that I liked earlier on when we were talking about the over in the first half for the Chargers game. And I think you'll find something else here momentarily as we go through the show. But one I'm about to share with you right now is another bet that you might want to incorporate.
Let's get into the Lion's Share brought to you by BetMGM. We'll go now to Sunday, Warren. Early game, 1 o'clock East kick in Buffalo, where the Bills have a very wounded Dolphin team coming in. The Dolphins get in after the Bills knock the Patriots out. Dolphins win that thriller against the Jets down at Hard Rock. No Tua from Miami. Seems like it's going to be Skylar Thompson, although there were some Miami reporters saying today that Teddy B was kind of hanging around on the field, doing handshakes with guys. So I don't know what to believe with who's going to start, but I'm not sure it's going to matter, Warren.
Well, I do think if it was Teddy Two Gloves, but you should probably call him now Teddy Four Fingers if he's working with one less finger on his throwing hand. I do think that that could be potentially an upgrade because I just think Skylar Thompson is terrible. I think this offense is massively limited. And one of the things that we know about the way that this Dolphins team has operated, when it was Tua, they were being put into a lot of third down situations, but they were having success converting on these third downs, especially third and longs at a crazy rate. I mean, they shouldn't have been able to convert at this rate, but Tua was converting 40% of third downs and 32% of third and longs. Skylar, only 32% conversions on third down, but 8% on third and long. So significant downgrade on those third down conversions if it's Skylar Thompson, which is going to give the Bills a lot more time of possession, give the Bills ball in better field position. But the one thing that this game really intrigues me to discuss is the Miami Dolphins and their splits defensively when they go on the road versus play at home. There is a reason if you've been watching the Miami Dolphins this year and you've seen them take their show onto the road, this team has gone over the total only 1 of 8 times. But when they play at home, they've gone over the total 7 of 9 times. The biggest factor is not actually what their offense does on the road. It's their defense. Their defense on the road is having substantial problems. Their defense on the road, I think I might have put that in the inverse. They are going over the total 7 out of 9 road games. They are under the total in 1 out of 8 home games. And the reason for that is because on the road, their defense is allowing 30 points per game, whereas at home, they're allowing 15 points per game. We're talking about double the amount of points per game when they go on the road. So you could say, oh, that's a small sample size, just 2022. You're right. Let's look back the last 3 years. The last 3 years on the road, they are giving up over 8 more points per game to opponents than they are holding these teams to at home. And this also obviously is because of what they're doing on a per play basis. So let's look at the efficiency metrics. On EPA per play, EPA per pass attempt, yards per play, this defense ranks number 1 to number 5 on all situations when they're playing at home. But when they go on the road, they are a bottom 10 defense. So significantly better defending plays at home, significantly worse on the road. Where are they playing this game? It's on the road. It's up in Buffalo. I think this defense is absolutely going to get exposed here because they're going to be on the field too long and because Skylar Thompson is likely the quarterback. He's not going to be able to generate sustained drives. They aren't going to be able to even flip field position very well. I see a lot of three and outs. I see a lot of punts in the Miami Dolphins future here. And as a result, I think the Bills are going to have a chance to score early and score often. This Bills offense is not humming like they need to be able to defeat the Kansas City Chiefs right now. But they have the opportunity to start getting back on track in this game against this Dolphins defense, and they absolutely need to. They were very fortunate to return 2 kicks. My boy Sam over here, he was at the game in Buffalo last week, witnessed it firsthand. They returned 2 kickoffs for touchdowns. That's not going to happen again this week, but I do expect a jacked up crowd. I do expect a lot of emotions here, and I expect a good performance through the air against a very weak secondary of the Miami Dolphins and a defense, as we discussed, that is allowing in 2022 twice as many points to opponents on the road as compared to at home.
And facing a quarterback who's one of the best in the business against the blitz, like Josh Allen is. And we know how much the Dolphins like to do that, and Josh burns teams like that.
Josh Allen absolutely burns teams like that. Now, it's interesting if you look at his splits since he sustained the elbow injury and over the second half of the year, naturally, he's been down in a lot of different categories. But we got a rare situation where there's not actually supposed to be any wind in Buffalo. There's not supposed to be any precipitation in Buffalo. And so you've got just cold temperatures, but perfect conditions to have success offensively here. And I expect that he's going to have some success against that blitz. He's going to have to get some things done with his wheels on the ground at times too. But I absolutely think that this is a great opportunity for Bills first half team total over, laying the points with the Bills in the first half. I think they come out quickly. I think the Dolphins are more so going to, usually they start quick with Tua. I think with Skyler, they're going to play to stay in the game. They're going to play not to lose this game real quickly. I don't think they're going to do anything crazy offensively early on. I think it's a Bills game to take control of early if they grab the bull by the horns and steer it in the right direction here.
That is what I like to hear, Warren. Bills taking control of the game. There you go. Me and Sammy Malone both like to hear that. Giants and the Vikings, second game on Sunday, 4:30 East kick in Minneapolis. Played a few weeks ago. Really good game. Vikings beat them by 3 at the end. What do you think this time? Same result or the Giants live here in Minnesota?
And I hope the Giants are live. I got my Jordan 3s on here for Brian Daboll, who rocks them all the time up at the facility. And look, I think that this Giants team knows how to play this Minnesota Vikings team. When you play the Vikings, you have to throw the ball more than you want to, and you have to do it on early downs because there's a strange dynamic with the Vikings on early downs. Not only are they really good against the run, but they're really bad against the pass, but then they clean everything up on third down. They're one of the best pass defenses in the NFL defending third down passes, so you have to make your hay on early downs throwing the football. Don't wait till third down to do that, and the Giants came out last game and had a lot of success throwing the football on early downs. That's where Daniel Jones was going crazy. He averaged 8.5 yards per attempt and completed 82% of his passes on early downs against the Vikings up here in Minnesota just a couple of weeks ago. Whereas when they ran Saquon Barkley on early downs, Barkley averaged minus 0.09 EPA per rush. That was his third worst rate of the season, and his longest rush attempt out of like 13 or 14 carries was 7 yards. He had no breakaway ability, no upside just a couple of weeks ago against this defense. They play a really unique style. They play really light boxes. Barkley saw the lowest box count on average of any team that he's faced this year. They don't load up to try to stop Barkley. They sit back, but they rally to the ball, and they're really good at preventing big explosive runs on early down. So I expect a lot of pass attempts from Daniel Jones early on in this game, just like they came out with last go around, which is why I thought that there was a little bit of value in the over 32.5 pass attempts prop for Daniel Jones here. I think the Giants come out throwing the football. I also think that the Minnesota Vikings will be able to have a little bit of success throwing the ball to Justin Jefferson. Kirk Cousins laser focuses in on him against man coverage, but man, the Giants are getting health on the defensive side of the ball, and the Vikings are getting injured on the offensive line, and you put those two things together, I really hope that we might see an upset here with these New York Giants coming into town and really, you know, surprising a lot of people. A lot of people like the Vikings in this game, but I'm excited to see this game being really close. I don't see a blowout in either direction, but I think the Giants can hang around.
When you came on and did this spot last month, Warren, when the Giants played the Vikings, you made me a couple of tickets because you brought up that the Giants were going to pass, which they don't normally do. And I got in on Slayton and Hodgins props, receiving props for them. It was a very good day when they played the Vikings in Minnesota. And here's the Vikings point differential. Lots been made about that. We got about 45 seconds left here. But they've been good in the fourth quarter, Warren, with their point differential.
You're absolutely right. They have the best fourth quarter point differential in the NFL this year. They are one of the worst teams in the first three quarters. The Giants haven't been great either, but interesting element for this game. Coming back in the fourth quarter in the playoffs is, especially in these first couple rounds, substantially harder than in the regular season. So you can't rely on, well, we'll hang around and go ballistic in the fourth quarter if we need to. The Vikings, they're going to be in trouble if they play that way this game.
Pharrell Coast to Coast, we're talking with Warren Sharp, getting you ready for Wild Card Weekend. We keep rolling on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty. We are talking with our Sports Grid lead NFL analyst, Warren Sharp from the MGM National Harbor in Maryland, getting you ready for Wild Card Weekend. All right, Warren, Sunday night, 8 o'clock in Cincinnati, another divisional rival game, Ravens and Bengals. I have for you, hot off the presses, the Raven injury report, which, of course, has been very important this week. Once again, I did not practice for Lamar Jackson. Let's face it, Warren, he's not going to play on Sunday. But Tyler Huntley is important. Limited. He did throw the football around in front of the reporters in the great 15 minutes where they allow everybody to watch. Gus Edwards limited as well, which I think is important because they need all their backs to maybe try to play keep away, run the ball, kill the clock, et cetera, et cetera. This has gone to 9.5 now this afternoon with all this information.
You basically missed the boat, in my opinion, with betting this game. If you wanted to bet this game, the smart way to bet it was to tease the Cincinnati Bengals down when you did not have to use a 7-point teaser, which is what you would have to use right now. I think the ship has sailed if you're looking in that direction. What I would be looking to do is let this line get as high as possible, and then you might want to come in on the Baltimore Ravens if that's the side that you like. I've got some interesting data here to share with regard to this Baltimore Ravens defense. We know In the first meeting of the season, they won that game 19-17. They really did a good job of holding the Cincinnati Bengals offense in check. That game was in Baltimore. Then they play this game just last week. It's a back-to-back game, as we know, not even a week in between on the turnaround. And they went up against the Cincinnati Bengals shorthanded. And they actually did a lot better than people expect to hear, because you look at the scoreboard and you say, oh, the game was 17-0, and you kind of focused on some other things. The reality of it is the Bengals had 13 drives in that game. Only four of those drives gained more than 12 yards. Only four drives out of 13 gained more than 12 yards. On the 10 drives that the Bengals started with the football in their own territory, here's the following results: 2 field goals, 7 punts, and 1 fumble. They scored 2 touchdowns thanks to turnovers by the Baltimore Ravens' third-string quarterback in Baltimore territory that allowed the Bengals to not have to drive the length of the field. They gave them short fields, and they scored touchdowns. Now, I absolutely think that the Cincinnati Bengals are a better team than some of these numbers show. 2 field goals, 7 punts. They're going to be more efficient on offense than what these numbers indicate. There was an element of them dialing things back and scaling back once they did have a lead, knowing that they were going to be going up against the Baltimore Ravens the very next week. However, I do think that this Baltimore Ravens team should not be catching 10 points here if it's Tyler Huntley. Like, I just think that that is too inflated of a number, and it's 9.5 now, but I can promise you, as the news gets finalized that Lamar's out, that line is probably going to go to 10 unless some guys start snapping that up and buying the 10s whenever they pop. This is the way that this NFL market has gone this year. It's wild to suggest it, but this is the truth. In the past, the market might move a little bit, and when something was finalized, like Lamar's definitely out, then you would see a little bit of a bigger adjustment. This year, they are moving all the way. Like, Lamar might be out, boom, we're going to move it all the way as if he's not playing. And they do that like 2 days or 3 days ago. And then every little bit of news that keeps coming out, the line continues to move away from the Baltimore Ravens in favor of the Cincinnati Bengals. And that just continues. It's now snowballing into this humongous snowball that's rolling down the hill, and it's getting out of control. At some point, once it gets to 10, I do think it's out of control. So I like the Bengals and teasers early. I would absolutely not look to lay the Bengals here. Too much familiarity. This Baltimore Ravens defense is too good since they've got Roquan Smith. They're a great defense. They didn't have Roquan in the first meeting with the Cincinnati Bengals earlier this year. I think they're going to be really buttoned up on that side of the football. And then you look at the Cincinnati Bengals team. I mean, this team just lost Lael Collins in week 16. Then they lost Alex Kappa in week 18. That's your right tackle and your right guard. You didn't lose these guys 2 months ago, and you've adjusted since. We're talking about season-ending injuries for these guys within the last 3 weeks. This is going to be their first game where they're without both of those guys for the entirety of the game against a very good Baltimore Ravens defense. I think the Ravens might be the lively dog here. I have not bet it. I might not end up betting it, but I've already teased the Bengals, and I might come back on the Ravens if the number gets to a point that I like.
I'm with you, Warren. If Huntley's playing, I'm in. On 9.5, 10, probably, definitely. I don't want Anthony Brown, but if I got Huntley out there, which is a little bit safer, and I have all those backs in there, I'm going to be in the mix. It's, do you think an under as well? 40.5, Raven defense, you just said, going to play them pretty tough, and that Baltimore offense going to look to maybe kill some clock. Are we thinking under 40.5?
Really been beaten up now. There were good numbers earlier this week. There were some 43.5, and I saw a couple 44s up there that got nabbed up very quickly, 44 and 43 being a little bit more key numbers in totals, although 41 is as well. So you've now missed all three of those key numbers with the line sitting at 40.5. I'm certainly not going to make a case for the over, however, but I just think that there's a lot of value that's left this marketplace that doesn't present as good of an opportunity. And what I hesitate to do in a Bengals game is look to the first half under, simply because they make such great second half adjustments with Lou Anarumo that those second half unders tend to be pretty good money makers with the Cincinnati Bengals bets. As a result, you're probably better off betting full games than first halves on the Cincinnati Bengals if you're looking to go under their totals. The inverse, if you like, the over, you want to bet their totals first half over so you don't have this exposure to those second half adjustments by Anarumo. And I do think last week, you know, they probably sat back in some softer coverages and let the Ravens have a little bit more success offensively. But both of these teams, you know, the Ravens and the Bengals, they were talking some trash last week in a game that mattered a lot to the Bengals. The Bengals felt disrespected by what the league did and made them play for a coin flip result. And therefore, you know, there's a lot of bad blood here. This is going to be a physical game. This ref needs to have things under control very quickly. And hopefully he doesn't call every little single flag, because there's going to be a lot of physical play in this one, in my expectation. But if a ref doesn't call a lot of things, that actually leads a little bit more towards the game going under the total, especially if he's not flagging a lot of, you know, defensive pass interference, illegal contact, defensive holding, and things of that nature.
Let's go to Monday night, where the weekend finishes off. The Cowboys go to Tampa Bay, to the pirate ship, to take on, yeah, they're 8-9, they won the South, but they always have Tom Brady, Warren, sitting down there. 2.5 is the number in this one. I've seen all the trends with the Cowboys on grass the last 24 hours. What are we thinking here with the boys and the Bucks?
Well, look, this is a very difficult game for me personally, because I'm trying to understand what that performance was last week, who the Dallas Cowboys have actually played recently, and then try to then account for the fact that I think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have the personnel to be a good unit, but the coaching, specifically on the offensive side of the ball, leaves a lot to be desired. If you look at some of the play action efficiency metrics, and this team is outstanding, one of the best NFL offenses in the league when they utilize play action on early downs, but they just hardly ever utilize play action. They also have this massive problem in that they call too many runs on first down. And I actually took some time this week to go over some numbers and try to think about things from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers perspective. I think I've come to a realization that the reason that Byron Leftwich runs the ball as much as he does on first down is because he and Tom Brady realize when they're in second and medium, second and long, or any third down situation, do they really want to be taking the ball out of Brady's hands and running it? Or are those the plays when they want to be passing the football? And I feel like they believe those are the times that they should pass the ball, and they're going to have the best chance of converting a first down when they pass on second and third down. And thus, the only time that they could potentially run the football would be on first down. The problem is twofold. Number one, these first down runs absolutely stink. They're averaging 3.9 yards per carry, which ranks 25th in the NFL. And when they pass the ball on first down, they're averaging 8.9 yards per attempt, which ranks 5th best in the NFL. So they're having a lot more success passing the football than running the football. But following a run on first down, the defense knows that they're going to pass the ball on second down because these first down runs stink, and you got a second and long situation coming up. And so the defense actually plays pass on second down following a first down run. And Tom Brady on second down passes after a run on first down, he's only averaging 5.3 yards per attempt. That was 8.9 on first down. So the pass game gets derailed a little bit too on second down. They get forced into a lot of third down situations, and Tom Brady then has to bail them out. I think this Cowboys defense is, I don't go as far as to say fraudulent, but they've played a lucky schedule of opponents offensively. And there's this weird metric that Jason Garrett tossed out there that they are not as good on grass as they are on turf. And if you look it up, the numbers do tend to bear that out. Although I think part of that is the fact that, in general, this defense has just gotten worse in the second half of the season. In the tail end of the season, the defense has fallen off a little bit. The thing that the Cowboys defense hangs their hat on is their ability to get pressure on opposing quarterbacks. But the thing that Tom Brady does better than any quarterback in the league is he has the number one quickest time to throw. He gets rid of the ball super quickly, so your pressure, even if you're good at it, doesn't really impact him nearly as much. But on third down, it could cause the Bucs to punt the football more frequently if that pressure is hitting home, which is why I think it's so invaluable that the Bucs pass the ball more on first downs here. But I just don't anticipate that happening. And as a result, I think this game could go either way. The way that I would like to play this game is to tease the Tampa Bay Buccaneers up through the key numbers of 3 and 7. I think that is the smartest way to look here. That way you don't have to mess around with trying to figure out, is Brady going to win this game by, you know, any type of margin, or are the Cowboys going to cover this short number? I don't expect Dallas, if they win, to win in a blowout fashion against Tom Brady. I like the teaser option here.
I'm with you on that, Warren. It seems like in every other game this weekend, there's at least one coach that I can trust late in the game that's going to make the right decision, that's going to do the right thing. I got to ask you, this is the one game where I got no idea. Who do you trust more, Todd Bowles or Mike McCarthy?
Neither. I'm tempted to say Mike McCarthy, and then I want to gouge my eyes out as soon as it comes out of my mouth, because Todd Bowles is the guy who is punting the ball on like 4th and 2 or taking delay of game penalties to set up a deeper punt, and then he's punting it into the end zone. We just saw that in Cleveland earlier this year. Todd Bowles' late game management and their first down play calling from Byron Leftwich makes me want to scream at the TV, but we know Mike McCarthy has years and years of failing in the postseason in these types of situations, and Dak is not playing at his best right now. So, you know, this is that game, you're absolutely right, where it's like guaranteed you're going to hear some angry tweets no matter who's doing what on the field, because both of these coaches absolutely leave a lot to be desired.
That's a close game late in the fourth on Monday night. You're right. I bet both, you're betting whatever side you bet on, you're going to have a problem with something that the coach did at some point in that fourth quarter. All right, Pharrell Coast to Coast. We're talking with Warren Sharp. Carver High in for Scotty, Sports Grid Radio. We will come back, finish things up with Warren here in hour number two on the grid from MGM National Harbor in Maryland.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty. We are talking to Warren Sharp, our lead NFL analyst here at Sports Grid. He's at the MGM National Harbor in Maryland. All right, Warren, before we get out of here, the games are kicking off this weekend. There's 14 teams left for the Super Bowl. Is there anybody on the future board to win it all that you still see some value in before we get going?
Look, this pains me to say this because I have some futures on the Philadelphia Eagles, but I think you need to pay attention to the San Francisco 49ers here, even with Brock Purdy at quarterback. And the reason why is simple. It's some quotes that came out of the Philadelphia Eagles press conference the other day, where the coach came out, Nick Sirianni, said that Jalen Hurts was hurting, quote unquote, hurt like hell playing that game last week. And that was after resting through two straight games, so 3 weeks of rest. Well, he gets this extra week of rest because they have a bye week, and he's obviously going to play again in their first week. But then he'll go up against, very likely, the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC Championship game without having any extra rest to get ready for that game. And I think the San Francisco 49ers, on the other side of things, Brock Purdy is only going to get more and more comfortable in this Kyle Shanahan offense with the experience that he's going to get over potentially these next 2 weeks if they're able to win. So I think it's a dangerous scenario for a team like the 49ers to go into Philadelphia, who's going to be playing without Lane Johnson and with a quarterback in Jalen Hurts, who doesn't have extra time to rest that shoulder. I just think it's a bad situation for Philly. I hope it doesn't become a factor for them, but if it does, San Francisco is going to have an upside shot at making their way to the Super Bowl out of the NFC.
Niners plus 450 at BetMGM right now before we kick off here on Wild Card Weekend. Warren, great stuff as always. Enjoy the games this weekend. Scotty's back next week. Thanks, my man.
Thank you.
There he is, Warren Sharp, lead NFL analyst for Sports Grid. We'll come back another hour to go on Coast to Coast right after this.